rock stars from Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, and keep you updated on the path to retirement and financial freedom without any fees or commissions. Kind of what we do here. I'm Craig with Amanda, your financial coaches, and we're so thankful that you've joined us. You can call us 24 hours a day, 989-888-ROCK. 989-888-7625. Leave a voicemail, text us with your questions or comments, and we'll answer them on the show. And if you're too shy for all that, you can always email us at podcast@rocklandusa.com. Amanda, what's new in your life?
What's new? Well, okay, I can tell you something that's new. So last time I ended the show saying how boring I was, and apparently...
You did? Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, so apparently I got some feedback on that.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. So one, my nephew was very offended. He's almost 8, and he said, no, that's not true. Aunt Amanda is super fun. So that's good news. I've got that going for me. Also, I did actually end up buying myself those rollerblades I talked about.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to start doing that. And we just got back from a snowboarding trip, so I guess I'm not too boring.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're doing that.
How about you?
I do want to get an update on something with you. I know, see, everybody out there, you need to understand, we really don't talk that much before. We have some notes, but I always catch her off guard. So here's my question. You ready? Mm-hmm. Drum roll. Mm-hmm. How many Instagram followers do you have?
Oh, well, I think I checked earlier today and it was above 50.
No, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
But I think it was around 40 before the last podcast came out. So okay. I don't think.
How about Twitter?
Yeah, I have 52 followers on Instagram now.
Okay, great. Congratulations. Welcome to Instagram.
Yeah, thanks. That's cool.
And if anybody wants to follow nothing, it's Agile, A-G-I-L-E, Amanda. Correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Awesome.
I did post a couple pictures from our trip to Utah.
Oh, there you go, everybody.
Maybe I'll share a picture of my new rollerblades.
The world is waiting, Amanda. Let's get on it.
Yeah. All right.
What's on this show?
Oh, I am super stoked for today's show. It's a really good one. We've got a voicemail question.
Whoa.
Yes, we have some callers again. We have some social media questions. We're going to talk about a topic. Today's main topic is paycheck to paycheck or worse.
What could be worse than paycheck to paycheck?
Well, not being able to make it to your paycheck.
Sorry, I'm jumping to the back of the book.
And then we're going to wrap up our baby step series, the Dave Ramsey baby steps, with the final baby step 7 today about building wealth and giving generously. Ooh, and then we'll wrap it up with a savvy savings segment on the pink tax.
So what?
Well, you can't jump to the back of the book twice in one episode, Craig.
Okay. I have no idea what the pink tax is.
Well, you're going to find out later in the show.
I learned so much from Savvy Savings. I really do. I feel so stupid after I listen to you.
So, Have you gone to the library yet?
Actually, I still need to go to the library. I actually went to our library website and I saw the free movie rentals and everything on there.
There you go.
I want to see how it works. Can I download them and take them on the airplane? All that stuff. It's like free Netflix.
All right. I'm going to check in with you in a couple of weeks. All right.
Hey, we have Sharon from Baltimore. And a quick reminder before we hear from Sharon, Amanda, if you leave us a voicemail with your financial questions at 99888-ROCK, 989-888-7625, and we use your question on the show, you're in the running for a gift card from Amazon or Walmart. That is a lot. Yeah. We got to get back to that backstory. But anyway, we'll give you a $50 gift card. Chosen at random right here, courtesy of us.
Yeah.
All right. So here is
on the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We're in debt, by the way. Here's Sharon from Baltimore.
Hello, this is Sharon. I would like to know what I can do with $20,000 for my grandchildren as far as investment.
All right, there we go, Amanda. Well, do you have any suggestions for her?
Ooh, this one might actually, Craig, be a bit out of my wheelhouse. Because my initial thought is to put it into a trust for them, but that is not my area of expertise. I do have, and actually one of my good friends has agreed to come on as a guest one of these days and talk about estate planning and wills and trusts. So that might be something to talk about them. In the meantime, I think Sharon could go a couple of different routes depending on the age of our grandchildren. If they're pre-college age, then, you know, we've talked in the past about setting up 529s with the minor as the beneficiary for those accounts. I don't know, Craig, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it almost goes back to that last episode. Wasn't it 22 where didn't that mom have a daughter that had $5,000? She was like 15 or something like that. I think it's the same answer, kind of roundabout, is go set up an account at our favorites, which are
Vanguard, Fidelity, and Schwab.
Whoa! Did you have coffee before the show?
Nope.
Wait till I get to the baby steps question.
Oh, I'm ready today. I studied.
But she could go to Schwab, Fidelity, or Vanguard and set up a custodial account. And like you said, either do the 529 or put the money into a mutual fund, you know, the old S&P 500 index fund or ETF or whatever. I mean, and then if that grew over time, I mean, I don't know how old her grandchildren are, but my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, if they're already adults, then obviously you might want to think about something else. But again, I think if this is one of those things where I would say, stay tuned and let me line up that guest sooner rather than later.
Sounds good. All right. Hey, we got a social media question for you.
Okay.
You're the real estate mogul. Okay. So I'm going to throw this one at you. Okay. And it reads, I need some advice. I have the option to refi my mortgage only about a year into a 30-year fixed to a 20-year fixed. And it will drop my percent from 4.75 to 3.5%. Is this a wise decision? I can afford the payments without affecting my lifestyle or investments. If we went down to a 15-year, it brings our payments to almost 45% of our paycheck. 20-year puts it at 25 to 28%, Amanda. What say you?
Well, first of all, I'm slightly annoyed that they're only a year into their mortgage and considering refinancing. They start out with I have the option. Everyone has the option to refinance. I know what's happening here. They're getting letters in the mail or calls from their mortgage company saying, hey, guess what? Mortgage rates have dropped. You can refinance. So they, you know, they're going to get their cut on closing costs 2 years in a row now. So that one aggravates me. I would not refinance unless I was sure that that's the last time I'm going to refinance, unless rates come down considerably from now. And, you know, we're at basically the lowest we've been at. So I don't think they're going to come down a whole lot more. That being said, you know, we talked about last time paying off the mortgage, that you shouldn't have a house or a mortgage that is more than 25% of your take-home pay on a 15-year mortgage, right, Craig?
Right, that would be it.
Yeah, so I'm concerned here that we're going to refinance to a 20-year instead of a 15. You know, you're paying those closing costs one more time. I this is no joke. In Florida here, the tax stamp alone is like $3,000. And you don't get away from that by doing a refinance either.
What do you mean? What's a tax stamp? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's just like another way that the state taxes your property. Anytime it transfers hands or you refinance, you pay that tax stamp again. It's like $3,000.
Didn't they get rid of the impact fee? Didn't the government, they found out it was unconstitutional, and that's probably what they did to replace it.
I don't know the history of it. I just know it's really cheap.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I got the answer.
So, first of all, this person had better have the rest of their baby steps up through 1 through 4 done and satisfied before they're thinking about messing around with their mortgage rates and refinancing. Right, Craig?
Right, absolutely. And you know what concerns me? And people think we're nuts with this. I've had people that I talk to in person about this, and it's kind of like a car. When you tell them that you have too much house, they look at you like, what do you mean? The realtor said I was okay. But when we use that measurement, the 15-year, to determine that payment, that's supposed to be no more than 25% of your take-home pay. I mean, that's a real point. we're trying to get across. Anything above that, in this case, it's 45%. We're not picking on this person, but you're almost at half of your take-home pay is on this house.
Right.
If you have something happen, you're in deep doo-doo. Can I say that? Deep?
Yeah, doo-doo.
I mean, what do you think about that? That's times are good right now, but it's not always going to be this way. And I think people need to understand that.
I mean, I'm comfortable with a 20-year versus 15. I mean, it's five more years. I'm less comfortable with this constant refinancing because it takes a number of years for you to get your return on investment on those closing costs. So at this point, you're like underwater in closing costs already since it's only 1 year into a 30-year and you're looking at doing this again. To me, that doesn't make any sense at all. Nothing's stopping you from paying more on your current monthly payment.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I would do is start putting that, start practicing. Put your, what would be your 15-year payment towards your payment every month on your current mortgage. I don't know, Craig, do you disagree with me?
No, I totally agree. But remember that one stat we said last week, the last episode, that only 2% of people that take a 30-year and say, well, I'll just make it a 15 on my own. Only 2% of people actually go forward and do it. So.
But if they're serious about it, I would just start acting as if they've already refinanced. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. My thoughts. Hey, because you have a lot of talking coming up and I get to really rest here for the second half of the show.
Sure.
I'll read the next question and then we can both attack this thing because this is a long, this is a long one. I think this one really relates to what a lot of other people are going through.
Okay. But there's
some great things in here. My husband turned me on to your Facebook group after hearing about it from people at work. I've loved listening to the podcast and Amanda really speaks to my soul with her savings tips.
So she must mean the Facebook page, not our group.
Yeah. I don't know if it's page, group, whatever. They're kind of tied together, but
yeah.
We unintentionally had twins in 2018.
Ooh. I like the word unintentionally.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
That they're avoiding the word, you know, like they're not saying accidentally or, you know, because unintentionally. I love it.
Look, I'm the guy. I'm not saying a word. I'm letting you do all the explanation here. So they unintentionally
had twins. Well, maybe they intended to have one baby and it ended up being double. We don't know.
What's that TV show on TLC? The people that have like, the guy has all girls.
Oh, yeah.
Six of them or something like that.
I don't watch TLC.
Unintentionally had twins in 2018. So things have gotten a little more complicated.
Yeah, I'd say.
Anyway, having a friendly debate. Oh, we're settling a debate, Amanda. I love this. Here we go. Okay. We could actually cause a rift in this relationship.
Unless you and I disagree and each one of us takes a side.
You know, that would be actually be the safe route. We should do that.
Yeah.
It's safer. Anyway, we're having a friendly debate about our 401k and we'd like you to settle it if you have time. The big question, here it is, Amanda. Should we stop contributing to our 401k in order to build our emergency fund or high savings interest? And
I don't need to hear anymore.
You've had some coffee tonight. I love it. But they have some more information. So let me go through it. And then we're going to go back to you saying yes. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're going to talk about baby steps in a minute, but maybe they weren't listening to the previous episodes.
Yeah. They're probably not listening to the episode. Actually, I told them we're going to use this in the episode. So they're listening.
They listen because they said they love my savvy savings.
Oh, that's true. You win. Yeah. All right. So here are the factors. We have no consumer debt. Congratulations, by the
way. That's awesome. Especially with unintentional twins.
For us, this includes no healthcare bills from the babies as well. Double no credit or loans. I love that. I love this. I'm getting more reports of this, by the way. We own a home. Currently, we have a 30-year mortgage. We'd like to refinance to a 20-year. Current liquid funds is $10,000. Monthly budget is $4,200. They have a budget, Amanda.
Yeah, and they have liquid funds of $10,000. That's almost an emergency fund.
Yeah. 10% has always gone. It is going into the 401k. We're single income right now due to high daycare costs times two. And a flight attendant schedule.
Okay.
I can't wait to see whose side you're on. I'm not sure which side we're doing here. We're just going to tell them our thoughts.
We don't know who.
Yeah. It's all yours. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, so I'm not sure what the distinction is between what they're identifying as their liquid funds versus an emergency fund or high interest savings. To me, liquid funds sounds like that's your emergency fund. But it's not quite at 3 to 6 months. So maybe that's the question there. Since they're down to a single income, I'm also questioning how they're doing 10% into both 401ks, since that has to be on your earned income for the year. So they're probably only contributing to one 401k this year. So yeah, I mean, I would build up that emergency fund, especially since they're on a one income budget right now.
Oh yeah. And so yeah. I would actually,
since it's only one income, I would actually go on the higher end, like 6 months worth.
Yeah. So it would be, their monthly budget was 4,200. So yeah. Hold on. I got to do some math here. 4,200 times six is
25,200.
Okay. I don't know what you drank tonight, but you are on your game, girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you know what? I just remembered. I actually did have coffee this afternoon, and I almost never have caffeine. So you're probably right.
So
I'm
okay,
mostly
so,
a non-caffeinated tea drinker. So yes,
oh
one
man,
cup
you're gonna
coffee.
Be up all night. $25,000. So they had $10,000 now. So let's go back. We're gonna go back through the baby steps. Their pass number one, that was $1,000 initial. Right. They paid off all the consumer. That's baby step two. They're actually up to baby step three.
Yeah,
the emergency
doing great.
Fund. So that's what we need to work on. So that $10,000 goes into the emergency fund, and they still need $15,000 more. So how are we going to come up with that $15,000, Amanda?
Yep, they're going to immediately stop putting contributions in the 401k.
This is a very common subject, which is why I want to use this. You know what the response is going to be when you tell them that?
I don't know.
They have a 9.3% company match, which is why they're doing the 10%. So people get hung up on this part right here that I don't want to stop my contributions.
I'll be honest, I get hung up on it then too.
No, a lot of people do. I run
into
this.
I wouldn't want to turn down the free money. Yeah, so the match wasn't in this fact pattern here, but I guess if you're reading into that they're a flight attendant, then that makes sense.
Yeah. So here's here's what I'm going to say about the company match, because there's a lot of people listening that relate to this one point. Mm-hmm. When you're going through these first baby steps, the first three, this is supposed to be happening rapidly. And if you stop the 401k portion, the contributions going there, trying to get company match, you can accelerate getting through one through three.
Yes.
And so if you're still losing $300 to $500 per month, which is maybe what they're dealing with here, in the grand scheme of things, it's really not that, it's not going to change the world if you get this knocked out in a couple months. You know, but I understand what people are thinking. They said, oh, it's free money, but you can always catch up with it later in the year.
You can catch up.
Because it's a company match. So
the other thing, I know they mentioned that they want to refinance. I wouldn't do that yet until you have your fully funded emergency fund and you've bumped up your retirement contributions to 15% minimum.
Oh, that's a good point. Good point. Then we're going to worry about the mortgage, right? Which is baby step six. So if you want to refinance it to make it go faster, then we can do it then. That's a great pickup there. Can you have coffee more often?
I don't know. We'll see how I feel tomorrow when I don't sleep tonight.
There was a couple of answers in there. So basically, it really comes back to the baby steps, Amanda.
Yeah.
So you're on baby step three from what it looks like. You need $15,000 more. I'm going to stick with the baby steps hardcore and say you got to stop the 401k, get up to 25,000, then come back and do 15% in your 401k, worry about your kids' future, and then
mortgage. If they're really set on the 10% into the 401k, then they got to find a different way to fund that emergency fund. You know, is there an extra car they can sell? You know, maybe since they're only doing one income, can they go down to one car? You know, the most important thing is fund that emergency fund and then go back to your 401k.
And go back to one of our episodes way long ago about gigs. Even though you're single income, the person at home with the two kids, you can do another job. You can flip things on eBay. There's all kinds of things you can do at home. Just because you're at home doesn't mean you can't make an income.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I've never had twins before. I know they're a handful, but you can always make extra money at home as well. So just consider that as well. You can always make another income. So... All right. We're up to a topic for you, Amanda.
Awesome. Yeah. So I ran across this article, and then I saw someone else make a comment on the same exact article in our Facebook group. So I thought we would share it with the rest of this group. 32% of Americans run out of money before the next payday.
Ouch.
Yeah. So they compared the percentage of working Americans, and they said that these 32% ran out of money most of the time or always among different income levels. And this is a consistent statistics. It's one in three households, really. But it applies to all income levels, even those making over $100,000 a year and over $200,000 a year. So that I found really interesting, that it really has makes no difference how much money's coming in. It's completely tied to how well you're budgeting and how much money's going out.
you know, related to that from people I help with, as they make more money, they get promoted, they get raises, they bring the lifestyle up with it. And that's not really what you're supposed to be doing. One thing that I did in my career, no one told me, I happened to do it. I got lucky.
Right.
Yeah. That every time I got a raise, promotions, I actually increased my contributions.
Right.
And thank God I did that. I mean, no one told me. I started getting into it because I saw the balance going higher. People on the flip side, in this article you're talking about, they just keep elevating. They buy the bigger cars. Right. They buy the bigger house. And
like,
we're not
getting
anywhere.
Oh, great. Now I can trade in my hoopty. And see how I did that. Went back to the hoopty.
I love that.
The previous episode.
But then they have nothing to show for it, Amanda.
Yeah, exactly.
All this money.
You know, it just goes to show you, higher income doesn't always equal less money worries. Almost half of working Americans surveyed by Salary Finance, so that 48%, say they don't have any money specifically set aside for emergencies. So that goes right back to, you know, building that emergency fund. And think about it, if your monthly income is higher, like the couple we just talked about, bringing in a monthly income of $4,200 is pretty good on a single income, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But you saw how quickly that adds up to $25,000 is nothing to sneeze at to save.
No.
You know, the more you bring it in, the bigger that emergency fund has to be as well. Many times, finding ways to save money from your monthly budget comes down to, you know, like we've talked about, planning in advance. So try to save up a few $1,000s on the fly can seem daunting, but if you find the small ways to save over time, it could be easier. So one thing I did also wanted to share is my sister just started Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University recently, and it's been really helpful for her. And she's on baby step one, and I am her cheerleader. So when she gets to, you know, the debt-free scream, she better say I was her cheerleader.
Can she come on our show and do that?
That would be great. Yeah.
We're going to steal it from Dave. Sorry,
well,
Dave.
Anyway, I think it's brilliant what she's doing. She's so motivated. She looked around her house, and she's been posting all sorts of stuff from her house for $1 each.
Really?
$1.
$1.
On Facebook. Yeah. Everything must go. It's $1. And she said, you know, Dave says to sell everything until the kids think they're next, right? Well, she's doing that at $1 each. So, you know, I think most people, if you really looked hard, you could probably come up with a few hundred things in your house, if not 1,000, to build up that mini emergency fund, right?
Easily. Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be like, oh, I have to look for something that's really expensive so I can sell one thing for $100. You know, you can look at volume, you know.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I also bookmarked that same article. I think a lot of people saw it. That shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of people on Facebook. They make jokes about how they're run out of money and they use GIFs and stuff like that. It's really not funny. You know,
what surprised me is that I think people tend to think, oh, this only happens to those in the lower income bracket, right? And this just goes to show you, no, it's across the board, one in three. It was kind of funny to look at the charts. They didn't move. As income levels went up, the percentage of people who are having that problem stayed exactly flat.
Yep. They raised their lifestyle with the income and have nothing to show for it.
I think it's what it tells you is that one in three people have that mentality, you know,
that
you spend what you get, and it's not a savings mentality.
We as a nation don't have a long-term mindset. Mm-hmm. Which we have repeated over and over again. You gotta, it actually nowadays, it's hard for people to think 20, 30, 50 years down the road. You're mm-hmm. like, oh, I got plenty of time. Actually, you don't. Time is on your side and you don't have to put that much money away the earlier you start. If you're in mm-hmm. your early 20s, you start now, you don't have to put a lot away every month and you will be a multimillionaire if you stick with it. It's yep. not, you know, you don't have to kill your lifestyle to do it. But if you wait, like how many messages and questions do we get from 50-year-olds about, I have a couple thousand saved and, I don't know
it's
what to tell them.
It's hard to catch
them.
Up at that point. Yeah, it's really hard to catch up.
It gets very difficult. And the reality is, like I posted in the group, you know, last week, retirement is not an age. A lot of people think, oh, I'm retiring at 62. If you don't have the number, the money, you're not retiring.
Yeah.
That's reality. You have to figure out.
Or you retire and then a few years later, you realize you need to go back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a lot of empathy for those people. It gets really difficult, like what to tell them. And you don't want to hurt their feelings. You want to give them some hope. But the later they get, I have people in the 60s asking me these questions. I'm like, you're not retiring.
On that note,
yeah,
that really
another depressing episode.
Let's take a break and we'll come
yes,
back.
Yes, I think I need a break. I do need a break. All right, everybody, you're listening to Rock on the Money. When we come back, we got two things left. Baby step number 7 and my favorite, because I can take a break, Savvy Saves. We'll be right back. This is Rock on the Money. Everyone to Rock on the Money with Craig and Amanda.
Woo-hoo.
Don't forget to what'd you say? Whoop whoop.
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. I'm almost done rebuilding that website, Amanda.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna look great. Well,
I actually showed it to you, almost. So it is a lot cleaner. It is.
You're making more progress on your project for the year than I am on mine. We'll just say that.
Well, and that one episode when you said, well, when are you going to get done? I was like, I guess I should actually work on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually doing a lot of rebranding with our podcast. The logo's changed a little bit with brighter colors.
Brighter than lime green?
Yeah. Well, lime green is still there, just not as much of it. But the background is very bright blue now. It really stands out.
Okay. So.
It, just a little bit of cleaning up and streamlining our process. This is actually working. We have so many of you that are giving us feedback. We have a lot of listeners. So I'm putting even more effort into this. So I appreciate
everybody. Make sure you share with your friends and family. We can always use more listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really do appreciate it. Hey, baby step number 7.
Awesome, because that means now I can take a break.
Well, after I quiz you on what are the first 6 baby steps leading up to 7.
Okay, all right.
Baby Coffee
step
girl.
One. I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Baby step 1 is what I'm going to call your baby fund. And
yes.
It's not for making unintentional babies. Instead, this is your small emergency fund. So this is $1,000. So selling everything in your house for a dollar will get you there, hopefully. Mm.
Love that.
But if your annual income is $25,000 or less, then you're going to aim for $500 in this baby emergency fund. Baby step 2, take care of all that debt except for your mortgage. And you're going to use the snowball method, which means you pay your largest debt first. Then that's largest in terms of amount and not in terms of interest rate or anything else.
Right.
Step 3, fully fund your emergency fund. So this is your 3 to 6 months worth of savings in something that is liquid and easily accessible. Baby step 4, fund your retirement with at least 15% of your pay. And that is a minimum of 15%.
At least.
Baby step five was about saving for school, right, Craig?
Yes.
Yes. And then six is to pay off your mortgage.
Boom. Good job, girl. I knew you had it in you. We keep repeating this over and over again, people. If you get it in your mind, you can always go back and see where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to remind you guys. You know,
put it on your refrigerator.
You know, people can make fun of Dave Ramsey all they want, but this seven-step plan has worked for so many people. And once you get beyond that, you know, then we're into wealth strategies and stuff like that. That's not what this is about. What was the percentage of people paycheck to paycheck?
One third.
And then beyond that, we have a bunch of people, what, 7 out of 10 have nothing saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is for them.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. When you make it to baby step seven, mm-hmm. Amanda, you can literally sit. You made fun of me when I said literally. In another podcast.
No. The only thing, it just reminds me of
literally.
Literally. Rob Lowe's character on Parks and Rec. He's just, that's all.
Okay.
He says literally all the time on things that aren't literal.
So. Oh, I thought you were making fun of me using like the letter D instead of T. Literally.
No.
When you reach
Parks
this
and Rec,
step,
hilarious show, check it out.
if I had time. I got people texting me 24 hours a day. What am I supposed to do?
You need to shut that down.
I know, but I care about these people so much. It's part of baby boundaries, step seven. Right? We'll
you
get to that.
Some boundaries on it.
Yes, I know. But when you reach this level, you can really sit back and say, you know what? I'm going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
No one owns you. No one owns what you have. Mm-hmm. When you come home, you walk through the door and it does feel different, Amanda. It's yours. Nobody can take it from you. Why can't they foreclose on you, Amanda?
Because they have no right to.
Because you own it. Walking barefoot in the backyard with the grass between mm-hmm. your toes. It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's yours. It feels different. And then no more money fights with your spouse or your significant. All of that disappears and you can now just feel good. When you listen to stories from other people that have done all this, they can't tell you and express the weight off their shoulders and that feeling. It's just gone. Hmm. You know, because no one owns you any longer, you can now pile money into your investments and you compound at a rate that will astound you. I don't know how yours is, Amanda, but I know I'm not supposed to look at my stuff, my numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I am at seven. Okay. So when I go look at my accounts, you know, there's like a good day on Wall Street or something. I'm like, oh man, I gotta go look. Everything was up 1 or 2%. And I go look at the amount because of all the work I've done since the 80s to now.
Mm-hmm.
And when mm-hmm. I look at that number, like I have days, I used to joke about this. Some days the amount I make is equal to like a car.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if where your money is, but I have some in Fidelity. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught it, but last week they had a system glitch.
Oh my God.
Yes.
When
people logged in, including myself, the account showed $0. Talk about a heart attack.
Was there any word about phone lines just being jammed on that?
Well, so coincidentally, I had to call the same day for an unrelated matter because my employer had entered my social security number incorrect when they set up my account. So I've been trying to fix that. So yeah, when I called, they said the call volume is, you know, much higher than normal. It was the same exact time that all happened. So I wasn't the only one that showed $0.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
As much, I treat this like a full-time job. If that happened to me, I would have freaked out. I would have literally had a heart attack right here.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm kind of dancing around this whole subject about building wealth and giving generously. But let me go over the building wealth part real quick, okay? So when you reach this level, we now actually go back to baby step four. That sounds mm-hmm. weird. Remember what baby step four is? That's where we did the 15% minimum, right?
15% minimum.
But so when you're doing
Now you're going to max it out way beyond 15%.
Oh, yeah. We're going to max out that account. If you have a Roth 401k or a Roth IRA or a backdoor IRA or HSA, we want to fully fund them in order. Just get them all maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, when you have large balances, Amanda, those compounding, when you have a 1% day or a 0.5% day, that is a big deal to you. Of course, when we have a 20% correction, well, that's a bad day too. And I've had them. We had one 2018. I can't remember how far it dropped. It was like 10, 12%. Mm-hmm. It was pretty significant. It was right after Christmas, right around there, which also caused everybody to have good gains in 2019. It was actually because there was a big drop. But I tell you what, I think I reacted pretty well. In my older days, I freaked out. Now I'm like, oh, well, I'll just have to wait for it to come back up. And then I got back in January, like, oh, everything's coming back up again. Okay, now I can look at it again. It's that kind of mentality.
When I see on the news that it's a down day, I won't look because I don't want to have, you got to take the emotion out. And that's how I keep the emotion out. It's just, I won't look.
But you don't get upset about it probably at the same level you did when you started
this.
If it
goes to zero, I would.
Well, yeah. Well, there's that. So here, guys, let me just explain. When you get to this level and you fully fund your accounts and you get to 1, 2, 3 million, let's say you have $2 million in your 401k account. And by the way, people, this is actually real. You can do this. It sounds like you can't, but if you fund your accounts on a regular basis over time, it's not difficult, Amanda, to get $1 or $2 million over time. Long-term mindset. Okay. So let's say you had a 12% year. Based on $2 million. Amanda, without getting into crazy math about compounding on itself, it's $240,000 that you gained in 1 year. Mm-hmm. That just drives your mind crazy that you can do that. It's all relative to your amount. So if you only have $10,000 in your account, it goes up 12%. That's $1,200. It's all relative. As you have more money, it just accelerates at a rapid rate. So let's go back to budgeting. You still have to have a budget, Amanda, even if you have $1 or $2 million.
Yeah. And I mean, I talked about it last week. We still have a budget. I still look at it every payday.
Yep. And I'm always, you would think I was the poorest person. Like, I went to Costco today. I look like I was homeless walking through there. Didn't shave today, nothing.
You don't have to skip showering.
I actually took a shower. I just didn't shave. It's my off day.
Or are you trying to conserve water?
But I drive a Civic. I drove a Civic into the parking lot. I walk in, I wear jeans, just to pull over, walk through unshaven. My hair is combed and stuff. I was probably one of the poorest dressed people in there.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to brag people. It's just that, you know, it's...
Yeah, just, you're poor bragging.
I'm poor bragging. Okay. you win. So the budgets don't end when you have money. Your budget can be reasonable. You can start including other things in there, like start budgeting for a trip. What are the things could we start budgeting for?
I don't know. For me, it's usually a trip.
Okay, trips. We'll stick with that. But then,
we travel pretty much every quarter. So for me, it is a trip.
Right. And then you'd like to have a zero-based budget. So if we have money left over, you've paid your electric bill, phone, everything's taken care of, all your line items taken care of, then we have extra money. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what we like to recommend is we're going to divide that into three categories. Okay.
Okay.
The three categories are, and you can assign
I'm
any
taking
percent.
Notes.
Yes.
That's what I remember.
you can assign any percentage to these three categories. You can make one bigger than the other. It's up to you. But one category will be, you're going to like this one, the fun category.
Since according to my nephew, I'm fun.
The fun category. Yeah, nephew. We're allowing her to have fun. So you have the fun category, the save and invest category, which is probably what you like. I like that one too. Yeah. And then we have the give category.
Mm-hmm.
So the fun category is, Amanda, what would you want to go out and buy? Or what would you want to do? Or what experience would you want that you would spend the money on at the end of the month?
Yeah, that's so easy. I mean, I keep a list of places we want to travel, but in one of our upcoming Savvy Savings segments, I'll talk about how we travel at a discount. But that's exactly what I would do. Like, for instance, here in April, we're going to be going to Ireland. That's been on my list for a while.
Okay.
So traveling. Someday I want to make it to Australia. Hopefully they recover from all the wildfires.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I look at my fun budget, it's always about experiences and not about stuff, because I don't really care about stuff.
And that's what Instagram's for, Amanda. Agile Amanda is the account, everybody. Save and invest is the next one.
I know, but if I keep posting things of like where I am traveling, people are going to think I'm not doing a very good job at saving. So,
you know what? I thought about that with mine because I travel for work. For one of my jobs, and I'm always in hotels and everything, and people are like, this guy's living the dream. You know, I thought he was saving money. Well, actually, I'm not paying for a lot of that.
Yep.
My work is paying for it. I'm taking the pictures off hours. I just happen to be staying overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pay for any of that, the food or anything. It's crazy.
I like your note here that you can be fancy because you are fancy. Oh my gosh, that reminds me. So this is many years ago. I used to watch SpongeBob with my son.
Yeah.
And Squidward always subscribed to like Fancy Living magazine. I just love that because he wanted to be so fancy.
Well, one of the things I do say to people that are trying to buy things to impress people, I tell them, don't be fancy until you're fancy. Well, at this level, you can be fancy because you are. I don't like to impress people. I don't get into that. If you want to go buy a nice car and stuff like that, you can at this level. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Save and invest. This is where you can get into your rental properties, businesses. You want to buy a business? You want to be like Marcus going
Lemonis. Yeah.
You can flip items, stock trading, ETFs. There's so many ways to make money. And this is where you can slice out a thing. You want to start a business. You could put the money in there at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, give generously. Now, this is a very general topic. Once we feel secure and you sit back, you actually look around and realize there's a lot of people hurting out there, Amanda. Mm-hmm. And you start, I mean, I don't know about you. I think you're very similar to me. I have tremendous empathy for other people who are hurting out there. They're trying their best. They just can't. What you and I do with this and what we're trying to do, we're not charging people for all this. You know, we're trying to help people here. We could easily charge for this, you know, what we're doing, and we don't. There are a lot of people getting ripped off out there by newsletters, courses, not all advisors. I'm not that anti-advisor, but there are people that are just looking to up their sales numbers. It's sad what's happening. People are trying to get quick money. They're looking for quick money, and there are people willing to sell the promise of it. It doesn't pan out. It never does. When you have the money, you're trying to keep people from doing these mistakes. You say, look, listen to us. We've been there. We've made these mistakes. We're here to help you. Okay. We've done it. Stop taking advice from broke people or people that are trying to rip you off. You know what I think of us as, Amanda?
No.
We're like the sheepdogs.
Okay.
Against the wolves.
Okay.
It's like you're trying to be a protector from the wolves. I mean, how many times I see stock trading courses advertising show up in my Facebook feed? Giving generously is just trying to keep you guys from getting ripped off. And then, you know, seeing people, if I told people some of the things I've done when I travel, I go to some cities, I see people in need. If I told you some of the stories, some people would actually, I don't know, they would hear the story and think something differently, but it's really, you know, there are a lot of people hurting out there, and it's not something that you need to post on YouTube or Instagram when you give, you know, there's a lot of people that do that stuff.
Build it in.
But you got to build it in. Anyway, we got a lot going on coming up. If people only knew what's coming. But I know what's coming up right now, Amanda.
What's now?
It's my favorite part.
Okay.
Savvy Savings with Amanda.
All right. And today we're going to talk about the pink tax. So here you go. Here's what it is. Yeah, women are consistently paid less than men for the same work. We all know that, right? Yep. Currently, women make 80.5 cents for every dollar that a man earns. It's a gender wage gap of about 20%. And then for women of color, the gap's even wider. But to make matters even worse, the disparity widens further because women are often charged more and pay more for everyday items than men simply because of what we're calling the pink tax.
So if you're not sure what paying the pink tax is,
think about a few things. Are you a woman? Do you buy women's products like feminine hygiene items, women's clothing, women's razors, women's body wash? If you answered yes to any of those questions, then you're indeed paying the pink tax. Mm-hmm. It's not literally a tax, of course, but it's, you know, a broad tendency for products marketed specifically towards women to be more expensive than those marketed towards men. In fact, the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs conducted a study that concluded that women's products are typically more expensive than men's without any reasonable cause. So the classic example, of course, are razors. You can get cheap razors for sale in most drugstores. No fancy moisturizing strip, no rust-free titanium, just a single blade. The men's version is blue and the women's version is pink. And the only difference between the two is color. But inevitably, the women's version is more expensive than the men's, even though they're the exact same product, just different colors.
Can I insert a quick 30-second money-saving tip on razors?
Sure.
Are we getting paid for this promo? No, I don't shave my legs. The razor I'm currently using, which does have one of the strips on it, by the way,
yeah,
it was cheaper than the one you bought. Yes.
Well, this is not what I bought. I'm just saying to do a apples to apples comparison, find the exact same razor.
But to save on razors, the ones you buy at the stores, when you're done using it, you put it in mineral oil. Don't leave it out in the air.
Okay.
Because so that's what actually dulls the blade. It's not the whiskers. If you put it in mineral oil, my current blade, I'm on month number 5.
Oh my gosh.
I learned this tip on the internet.
Look at you with your savvy saving.
Come on, baby. Yeah. I thought, see, even you're impressed.
I am. I was going to actually make a short,
you know, when we start making videos, we could make videos on how to save money in the house, actually show people stuff. Anyway, I don't want to get off thing, but I thought you'd like that one.
No one's coming into my shower with me.
No. Matt would not like that. Nope. Not here. Anyway, I thought you'd like that. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So a few statistics. Products for women and girls generally cost about 7% more than comparable products for men and boys. So if you look at a few specific categories, toys and accessories, 7% more. And that's like if you buy a bicycle helmet that's blue versus a bicycle helmet that's pink, it's like $5 or $6 more. And that's the only difference. Absolutely.
That's
bikes. If you get a pink bike versus a blue bike, if you get, you know, things that are exactly the same except for a color, there's a pink markup. 4% more for children's clothing, 8% more for adult clothing. So like if you go to Target or Walmart and just want to get a plain, simple t-shirt, the women's is more than the men's. And it's outrageous because men's shirts generally have more fabric on them.
That makes no sense.
Yeah. No, it's simply because it's a woman's product.
Wow.
13% more for personal care products. So you can look side by side in the pharmacy section at two different lotions by the same manufacturer. But if one is marketed towards women versus men, it's going to be a few dollars more. 8% more for senior or home health care products. So again, these are all kinds of things that you can buy in the drugstore, like razors, shaving cream, deodorant, face cleanser. The exact same products going into two different containers, one for women, one for men. These are the prime offenders when it comes to charging women more for the pink products. So the easiest way to avoid this markup is to comparison shop when you can. Check out the men's versions of razors, shampoo, and other personal care products when you're out shopping. Browse men's basics like t-shirts, button-up shirts, and socks. Chances are you'll pay less for products of similar or better quality. And no one's going to know you're wearing a small men's sock versus a large lady's sock.
But you won't catch me wearing a women's sock.
Well, why would you pay more?
There you go.
Yeah.
Now I have an excuse.
Now you have an excuse. And then again, unless you purchase fancy razors and multiple blades and moisture strips, the only difference between generic old stick razors for men and women's is that ours are pink and theirs are blue. So surprisingly, and this is sarcasm here, surprisingly, color has little effect on the hair removal process.
Really? Yep. Shocker.
Yep. So that's it. The pink tax.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's actually pretty annoying.
It is. Once you start talking about it, I was like, oh, I do remember this topic now. Yeah. And it's still going on because I heard about this a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Of course it's still going on.
You would think they would have cleaned that up after it got exposed. But nobody cares. Nobody knows.
Nobody cares. Yeah, I mean, look at the makeup of Congress. They're not going to go out of their way to pass something that doesn't affect them.
Good point.
That's why the majority of states still tax necessities for women's, you know, personal products, even though toilet paper's not taxed.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. So anyway, that's my soapbox for the day.
Wow, we both got on a soapbox today.
I know.
We're becoming angry. All right, I appreciate this, Amanda. That was really good. That was a great Savvy Savings. And where can we find you on social media?
Agile Amanda on Instagram. And maybe some, I have an account on Twitter, but there's nothing there. So good. Okay.
And mine is at Rockland USA on Twitter, Instagram, pretty much everywhere.
And there's things TikTok. There. And you have things to see there.
Yeah. And I stopped using TikTok when I found out the Chinese were spying on me. So, but I still have videos there. So anyway.
All right.
Well, thank you. And as always, a quick reminder, check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have show notes. All the podcasts are located right there. The website turns into a player. You can play it right on your phone. Plus, there's links there so you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platforms, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. And if you could leave us a review and some star ratings on those platforms, it really, really helps us out a lot. Check out our Facebook group community with over 3,000 people in there. Facebook.com/groups/your401k. And also check out our Facebook page at Rock on the Money. So long, everybody. We really, really do have a lot of gratitude for you listening, sharing, and spreading the word. You guys are great. Amanda and I cannot emphasize how much we appreciate you guys. So long, and we'll see you again next week. Until next time, America. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.